Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So how did you do with last week's homework assignment? If you weren't here last week, we talked about being salt and light to somebody else. Now, I have heard a couple of stories this week from several of you who've texted me or talked to me in person who have shared what you have done with other persons. And it was really awesome to hear how you were able to be salt and light for someone else, to show them what God looks like, in God's love looks like in your life. Now, there was a time or two this week where I was able to be a salt for a family as well, too. But I also know how hard it is to do this as well, as I was struggling to figure out who to write a letter to this week. So as I was praying to God where I could help out, I got an answer to my prayer, actually quite a few answers. So I got busy writing a bunch of letters. So how did that feel? To put our faith in action. Scary? Fun? Did you begin to see the shift we need to make from just believing in God to believing God? So today we're going to continue our talk about believing God, which means ultimately that we trust God. And trust is a hard thing to do, right? It's hard because there are many times that people break our trust. And the other reason that we don't trust as much is because we know ourselves. And if we are honest with ourselves, we have broken somebody else's trust, haven't we? I know for myself, I remember being 10 years old and getting my first grown-up bike. It was a red 10-speed. My mom told me I could ride my bike around the block, but that was the farthest I could go. When I asked her if I could go to the 7-Eleven down the street, she emphatically told me no. She explained to me that I had to cross Locust Street, which is a very busy street similar to Highway 63 on a busy day, with the caveat that there was no stoplights. She was too worried that I would get hit, and she made me promise her that I wouldn't do it. And I agreed, for the first week. But the pull of Slurpees, comic books, and I know kids might not know this, but upright video arcade games, you didn't have Nintendos back then, was too strong for a 10-year-old. So one day, I went to ride around the block, and I sort of got lost. And wouldn't you know, I just happened to end up at the 7-Eleven by chance. I mean, who knew? Yes, the cherry Slurpee was awesome, and I got to read 3 or 4 comic books before the employees asked if I was actually going to buy any of them. Soon I was on my way home. I crossed Locust Street just as easily as I had done when I had arrived. No harm, no foul, right? I didn't tell my mom. I kept going back to 7-Eleven every couple of weeks for that whole summer. My mom never knew. Until I finally told her when I was 20 years old. I still remember sitting at the kitchen table after coming home from college and sitting down with her. It was a Friday night, and we just had been talking about some fun memories we had at living at the old house, the house that was close to the 7-Eleven. Finally, I said, "Mom, I want to apologize because I haven't been truthful when I was a child." She sat up straight in her chair, not sure what I was going to say. I said, "Mom, remember when you told me that you didn't want me to go to 7-Eleven? "Yeah," she replied. "Well, I sort of did, a lot." I sort of closed my eyes, waiting to hear what she was going to say, and she started laughing. "I sort of figured you did, when I started finding all those Slurpee cups in our garbage." "What? You knew?" I gasped. "Yeah. I wanted to see how long it would take you to come clean. It's only been 10 years. Also, I followed you one day over there to see how you got there. And you actually did a pretty good job. So I wasn't too worried after that." That was one of the deepest, darkest secrets of my life. And my mom knew it. I also knew that she trusted me in my decision-making process as well, and that made me feel good. But you know, the best thing was it felt good to come clean. It felt good to regain her trust. So it got me thinking about our text for this week. Our primary mode for communicating with God is prayer. I do know that prayer for most of you here is a hard thing. How do I know that? Because about every single time we need to pray at church, guess who everybody looks at? Me. Now, I should be honest. This doesn't happen just here. Just a couple of days ago, we met with Britta's cousin and her husband, and we were going to share a lunch together. And they reminded us that we should pray. And guess what? Everybody looked at me. Now, I don't mind praying. I do it daily, and sometimes multiple times a day, especially on Sunday at 8:22 a.m., when I'm asking God to help me figure out what I'm supposed to talk about today. So today, we're going to look at prayer to help all of us use this valuable tool to communicate to God. So if you have your Bible apps, I'd like you to open them to Matthew 6, verse 7. Otherwise, if you have your Bibles, please turn to 787. Matthew 6, verse 7, or on page 787. Now, we are in the midst of a large section of Jesus' teaching. I think it's comfortable to know that the disciples themselves probably had questions around prayer. Now, note these questions are coming from men and women who were taught all through life that prayer was important. So don't feel bad about not understanding a lot about prayer. And actually, I'm going to back you up if you have your Bible app to Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. We're going to go back to verse 5. I want to cover this one as well, too. So I'm going to start in verse 5. And it says this, "And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward." So what Jesus is getting at is that prayer is about relationships. It's not about a show. So verse 6, "But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret will reward you." Prayer is about communicating to God about everything. Just think how hard it would be to go into public and pray to God about all those personal things that are really weighing you down. Especially in our culture today, that would be really hard, I think. But Jesus and God really want us to go to them, though. And this is why Jesus reminds us this is about relationships and not about glory. This is why we need to have time to pray to God alone. It's about trust. Now, if you have your worship notes out, this is the first answer to one of the questions. Prayer is about trusting in God. Prayer is about trusting in God. We continue into verse 7. "When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask." Now, there's a lot to unpack from verses 7 and 8, and the first thing I want you to do is make a mental note of the word that Jesus uses for God in verse 8. What's the word he uses? Very good, Father. Now, in the Greek, it's Abba. It's a personal term of endearment for a father, like Papa or Daddy. Again, Jesus points back to his relationship we have with God. It's built on trust, grace, love, and truth. Now, interesting enough, the reason that the Gentiles use so many words, loud phrases, and the like, is that the Gentile world, in order to get a hold of your God, you had to get their attention. And the only way to get their attention was to be loud and obnoxious. Sort of like what we still see on Facebook and Instagram today. However, God is not like that. God already knows what you need because God is paying attention to each one of us. God is listening. God is waiting for us. And God knows what's going on in our lives. Scary, isn't it? God knows what you're doing. There's no secret you can hide from God. There isn't a problem you're facing right now that God doesn't have a ringside seat to. So the question I have to ask is then, why don't we bother sharing with God? Why is it so hard to get on our knees and say, God, I need some help? It's just so hard to trust, though, right? How many times have we been let down by others? And more importantly, how many times have we broken trust? What would our papa say about that? How could God love us when we've screwed up so much? And that's why I'd like you to direct your attention to there, to that sign, to that cross. Because that reminds us how much you know Jesus and God love us. God wants you to know that you can trust God. And that's why the Lord's Prayer starts out with "Our Father." It's supposed to be a term of trust, a term of dependence. God wants us to come to God. God doesn't care whether you have a well-crafted prayer. God just wants us to trust. And here's the answer to number two. Prayer is about quality and quantity. Prayer is about quality and quantity. Let me define those really quickly. When I talk about quality, I'm not talking about having a PhD in English lit. No, I'm talking about where is your heart at right now? What do you need to trust in God about? Are you being open and honest to God about it? What is stopping you from letting God in? Quality is having that open and honest conversation with God. Quantity is about praying a lot. Yes, we've talked about God on this issue a while ago, but it's on my mind now. Pray about it, and pray about it often. Prayer is not a one-and-done type of thing. It's a process. It takes time. So feel free to pray to God often. And don't feel like you're nagging God, because you're not. We hear it in the Lord's Prayer today when we pray for our daily bread. God expects us to be talking to God daily. Now, the one thing about prayer is God is not a vending machine. Just because you ask for something doesn't mean things are going to turn out the way you think they will. And this is the answer to number three on your worship notes. God's direction with our prayer can be scary and awesome at the same time. God's direction with our prayer can be scary and awesome at the same time. I think this is probably one of the biggest reasons we are scared to pray, because we are afraid of what will happen. We are afraid of what changes we're going to have to make. We're afraid of the status quo being overturned. But I can tell you from personal experience that when we trust in God, amazing things happen. I mean, if I didn't trust in God to place me in a call, I would never have wound up here. But believe me, there were times I was scared in the call process. I was fearful I'd never get a call, or that the church I would end up would be a bad fit. The one thing I never did, though, was give up trusting and praying to God about it. And look where I'm at here today, with this wonderful congregation. So for this week's homework assignment, I know for the kids, you've had a lot of time off, so this is good for you to work on. What do you need to pray to God about? What do you need to pray to God about? I'd like you to take some time each day alone and pray. Pray to God what's on your heart. Pray to God what's bothering you. Pray to God for all the anxiety that has built up. Pray to God about your money troubles. Pray to God with your relationship troubles. The big thing is to pray. God wants us to know God loves us and wants us to trust in God through the good and especially through the bad. And finally, if you don't know the words to say, I invite you to pray the prayer that we all know so well. And please say the words with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.